It's good. It's not so hot now, is it? Has it cooled down a little bit?
Yeah,
good. Someone just came up to me and said, we put something in for the air conditioner. The Lord touched our hearts. I hope He touched a lot of y'all's hearts with the heat. No, but that's great. You know, sometimes it's like we just fixed this air conditioner, I think it was, what, 3-4 weeks ago. It's just ridiculous. I think the Lord doesn't want us to be so comfortable, maybe. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans, to Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. And let's pray. Father, I just ask that You would take this time and You would teach us, Lord. We need so much to hear from You. We need so much, Lord, to be educated and comforted and spoken to by You, Lord. We need our lives to be shaped, Lord, by the truth of Your Word. And I just ask, Father, You would take this time that we spend together. You would take the feeble attempts, Lord, that we have sometimes at expounding Your Word. It's so rich. And I just ask, Lord, that You would bless the time we spend. Lord, teach us. Be among us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read from verse 10. It says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded or more noble character than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens. And receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. You know, this is probably a passage of the scriptures that everybody has heard a message on, so it's kind of difficult to reinvent the wheel here. And probably one of the people that are referred to most in the Bible, the Bereans. You know, I think from the moment I became a Christian, I always heard, you got to be like the Berean. You got to be a Berean. Or they're Bereans. They study the word. So to me, it was a bit difficult to be able to tackle this passage with fresh eyes. You know, sometimes when you heard things over and over and over again, you sort of tend to just assume certain things. So I did my best to come to this passage with fresh eyes. But and I think we can learn quite a few things from it. Now, Paul had left Thessalonica by force. There were people who were jealous and envious of Paul, and they began to spread gossip, and they began to criticize Paul. They began to attack Paul to the point where his life was in danger, all because they were not persuaded by the gospel, but rather rejected the gospel. So they were not content not to believe, but they had to actually persecute him, and also because Paul was gathering quite a following around Jesus. So the Christians said, Paul, you've got to get out of here. I think Paul probably would have argued with it and says, I'm going to stay here. But the Christians, the brethren actually said, Paul, we need to send you away, not for your own good simply, but also for the good of the gospel. You've got to go in order to continue to spread the gospel wherever you go. So they send him away, and he traveled to it's about an hour drive west of Thessalonica, towards the mountains, and Berea finds itself right at the base of the mountains. And there he arrived. And to me, it's just astonishing to see the Apostle Paul going straight to the synagogue. Again, last week we looked at the fact that he said he loved the Jews. His heart broke for the Jews. He prayed for the Jews. He went for the Jews because of the Lord's love for them. He in one place says, the love of Christ constrains me. And he very easily could have said, forget those people, forget the Jews. I'm just going to focus on the Gentiles because after all, that's what Jesus called me to do. And after all, that's where I'm having the most success. And the reality is that no matter what trials he found, it just seems to me like Paul, the love of Christ in Paul was greater than any trial. It's just crazy. I get rebuked. And whenever I find Christians that they think that they've already arrived, I just think to myself, you haven't read your Bible. Because the moment I read something like that, immediately I find myself like a midget Christian. I find myself like Gulliver in an island of the giants, you know, just thinking, man, everybody's just bigger. And Paul, just so committed, so courageous in the midst of difficulties, that he didn't say, I'm just going to do away with these people because obviously everywhere I go, they do trouble. He says, no, I want to give them an opportunity. And I think we should give people opportunities in the midst of trials. Now, he went into the Bereans, and I think we can learn quite a bit from the Bereans. Notice it says in verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They're contrasted. In Thessalonica, there was bitterness, there was envy, there was jealousy. But the Bereans are contrasted with the Thessalonians in that they were completely different than the Bereans. And it's amazing. It would have been so silly if Paul would have given up. The Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good, for you will reap in due time if you do not lose heart. And Paul could have lost heart and he could have missed the blessing of just simply persevering to the next place. He found different people. Now, my question is, who were the Bereans? What kind of people were the Bereans? Well, number one, and this is where I think the thrust of this message today, the first part, is going to be different than anything you guys ever heard before. Because normally, when we talk about the Berean attitude, it's always addressed to believers. You got to be a Berean. You got to search the scriptures. But let me tell you this. The Bereans were non-Christian. They were not believers, but were noble. And it's interesting to me because obviously sometimes we just say non-Christians, they can't do anything good because after all, they are totally deprived, total depravity. And yet the Bereans were not Christians, and it says about them that they were noble. The centurion, it says that he was a devout man. And we need to realize that although we are totally deprived in the sense that our inclination is towards sinfulness, we are also created in the image of God, which means that we are able, in our finite way, we are able to love people. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't say we were just totally deprived. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to those who ask him? And you see that there's a contrast within the human being. We are totally deprived, and yet on the other hand, we are created in God's image, so we're able to love. We have our glimpses of generosity. We have our glimpses of good character within the human race. It's crazy. And I say this because, these people were non-Christians, but there was a noble aspect to them. And we have to be able to praise, give praise where praise is due to people. Noble means having fine personal qualities that people admire, such as courage. The second definition is very impressive in size or quality. Very impressive. When When Chris first arrived here, we were having a conversation actually the second or third week, and he was just telling me how, when I first met you, I was just sizing you up. And I was like, what in the world does that mean?
You said that. No, I said that to you. You said that to me.
No, you said, I never had the expression size up until I met you. So he says, he said something. It wasn't I was sizing you up. He said, usually you don't know how to be with people, and then you sort of size people up. That's what it is. And you know what? It's not a bad thing. And I'm not even saying it in a negative connotation. I'm just saying that whenever you size people up, you're saying, what are the value of their character? And you know what? I want to say this to you guys, particularly non-Christians. These people were noble. They were well-sized. But they were still not Christians. It means that we can have certain attributes in our life that we can focus on and say, man, I'm a pretty good person. And the reality is that you probably have some attributes about you that are pretty good. Depends who you compare yourself to. If you compare yourself to Hitler, I'm a saint. If you compare, can you guys send that up? If you compare yourself to me, you're pretty bad. Just kidding. No, but honestly, if you compare yourself to Jesus, it's crazy, huh? I mean, I fall short if I compare myself to the Apostle Paul. And he fell short in the light of Jesus. So to me, when someone says, God will accept me, I'm a pretty good person, I think to myself, you really don't know what you're talking about, because although there are very good attributes, you're far away from perfection. And God says that you need to be perfect. And that is something that is only achieved by what Jesus did on the cross. And this is what's so amazing about the Bereans. They were such noble character. It says they were more fair-minded, because in contrast with the Thessalonians, the Bereans had no preconceived ideas, or at least they were not prejudiced about them. And it is interesting to me how many people say, I don't believe the Bible. It's full of contradictions. It's inaccurate. It is written by man. And you ask them, have you read it? And the answer, 99.9% of the time, is no. So what the contrast with the Thessalonians is that they had a preconceived idea, they had a prejudice that Jesus could not be the Christ, number one, and two, that more people were following the Apostle Paul than were following them. So therefore, they had a prejudice against the gospel of Jesus Christ. You also have other people like this. They say, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in the Bible, because all I see is that Christians are hypocrites. Well, that's a prejudice as such, because although some Christians might be hypocrites, I think it would be a bit too far to go to say that every Christian's a hypocrite. And at the end of the day, I need to ask myself, because I've seen many hypocrites, I've seen hypocrisy in me. But my question is, who am I going to stand before when I die? I won't be able to say they were hypocrites. The question is going to be, what did I do with Jesus, who definitely was not a hypocrite? And we have to be very careful that we do not have preconceived ideas. Or maybe we were raised in a country that is bigoted. Whether you're Scottish, whether you're Irish, whether you're from Northern Ireland or the UK, the whole Protestant Catholicism thing, and you see Catholics that are just brutal, and then you see Protestants that you just think to yourself, where in the world, what planet are they from? And you build a prejudice that you just don't believe the Bible, because after all, if God is how the root of all evil is sort of religion, because look at what it causes. And we build a prejudice, and yet we never read the Bible to see how the apostles and how Jesus behaved. And actually, we never find life because we are prejudiced. And the encouragement to you guys that are non-Christians here is if you want to emulate good character, noble character, fair-mindedness, would be read the Bible. Read the Bible for yourself before you judge it by what you've seen on the outside, because that's where I find my the things that we believe. Read the Bible for yourself, and I guarantee you, because I don't know anybody that's ever done it, and it's not, I can almost guarantee you 99%, you read through the Bible, and you will be convinced that Jesus is the Christ. And what you do with it after that, it's another game. But you will be convinced. I know an Egyptologist, actually. I met him, and he actually had a program on Sky TV. And he was looking for the Holy Grail, I think it was. Then he went on the search for Atlantis, and he did a lot in the pyramids. And you know what? As an honest archaeologist, he said, and we asked him, so do you believe that Jesus lived? And he said, oh, yeah. Do you believe that Jesus died? Oh, yeah. Do you believe that Jesus rose again? Yeah. So why aren't you a Christian? And he said, I don't know. But when you search it, you don't. You sort of separate from the hypocrisy. You see in the text, you see the honesty that the Bible brings across. I remember Hazel, a girl in England, she said at one point the Lord began to deal with her heart, and she just started at Genesis. She says, by the time I got to Exodus, I was a believer. And you know what? A noble character does not judge just by what preachers say, because preachers are fallible, not just by what people says, but goes to the spring, goes to the fountain and finds out what does it say for itself? What does the Bible say for itself? These Bereans, they were not prejudiced against Paul. They actually received the things that he was saying with all readiness. They were eager to learn. They were ripe, wanting to receive whatever God had for them. And you know, they had not allowed the years of tradition to taint their lives, to make harsh judgments on things that they were not clear on, just sort of dictated by prejudice. They were genuinely interested. Noble character, someone that is open to receive everything that God has for them. Now, on the other hand, you sort of think to yourself, oh, but if I do that, I will believe anything, right? But this is another thing about these Bereans. They were ready to receive whatever Paul said. But notice this, they were not naive. It says that they listened, they received what Paul said, but they searched the scriptures to verify whether what Paul was saying was true or not. So it's not like they were gullible, it's not they were naive about it. Is that they were ready to receive, oh man, does God want to teach me something here? And then they would go home and say, oh wow, he said this, is this true? Is that true? Oh man, that's amazing. And they would reason it for themselves. And listen guys, I think this is crucial. I think it is crucial today that we are not people that just naively follow people's teachings. You know, people rise like gurus. Oh, the leader of the Moonies just died. And we had friends here that came to church, and they were in the Moonies. And sort of, you just get astonished at how easily people fall for the teachings of one person. And at church, I don't think that we should be I never expect you guys to come to church and just, or believer or non-believer, to just say, well, Raph said it, so it's gospel truth. I would imagine that, you know, what we need to do is we need to be people that are of the Bible. When I open the Bible here, and this is some of the things that grieve me sometimes when I see people coming here and they don't have Bibles with them. Because what I think should be happening here is, oh man, Raph said this. Let me see, is it true? And then go home and further research. And then listen to other teachers. And to be able to have a variety of teachers that you listen to, not where you put one above the other, but at the end of the day, the authority is the Scriptures. That's what we need. Hey, guys, if you do that, if you let the authority be the Scriptures, you will find that you're able to test everything and hold on to what is not convenient, but to what is good and to what is true. Now, I say this because we're not asking anyone to be naive here. Naive means lacking experience of life or good judgment, and be willing to believe that people always tell you the truth. I'm not asking you to believe that anyone who has a Bible in their hand is always telling you the truth, because the reality is people with their hands are making money out of people. The reality is that people with a Bible in their hands are abusing people. The reality is that people with Bibles in their hands are dominated people, their decisions, and manipulated them and abused them. But I'll tell you what. The Jesus of the Bible and the apostles of the Bible and the Spirit of the Bible never did that to anybody. So although I want you to be completely open as a non-Christian, I want you to be critical in the sense of what you listen to, and to not fall in for anything, but fall for Jesus. Gullible, too willing to believe or accept what other people tell you, therefore easily tricked. But the Bereans, although they were open, they were not easily tricked. And they would go home and they would, as good, as noble people, they would go home. Man, Paul said this. Oh, mamma mia, that's true. Oh, wow. What he said is true. And you know what? When you do that, you will not be confused in your mind. If you go home and you confirm everything by what the Scriptures say, you will build your life on a foundation that no one will ever be able to shake. I was a Mormon for 5 years. While in the military, I became a Mormon because I was about to go to Iraq. I didn't go in the end. And I became a Mormon because I just thought that was the right thing to do. And later, I became a Christian 5 years later. And then about 6 months later, after becoming a Christian, I find myself in Alcoy, in the mainland of Spain, with some Mormons. And, you know, they chase me down. They call my mom over and over again. They wanted their 10%. They wanted, they're very protective, and they're very careful with apostates. And I was an apostate because I wasn't following them anymore. And I met with two or three of them. And I was just so happy. I mean, a guy led me to the Lord, but I didn't belong to any denomination. I was just like, oh, man, this is so cool. Oh, Jesus. You know, I remember walking, just, I had a cross on me. And I was the thing, I love to look in the mirror and see the cross. And I just felt so close. I was like that, but I felt so close to Jesus. And I was like, man, Jesus, I just love you. And I'm so blessed by you. And I'd listened to many teachings. But you know what? I became a person that read my Bible. It only been 6 months, but I read my Bible. I used to sleep with my Bible under my pillow. Now it's in my nightstand, but before it was just like under my pillow, and I would just at times just sleep hugging it. And these Mormons came up to me, and as we began to debate about the grace of God, at one point as we were saying goodbye, one guy said to me, I tell you as an apostle of Jesus Christ, you got to think, I've been a Christian 6 months. As an apostle of Jesus Christ, I tell you that the foundation that you're standing on today is one day going to collapse. And then you will return to the mother church. And you know, when you're talking to someone and you're moved and feared, you know, they like the burning of the bosom. You know, they always say, does your bosom burn? And obviously they ask you questions. It's like they'll say, well, read this mystical book. Does it burn? And, well, of course it's burning. I mean, I'm in an awkward situation, you know. And, I mean, I'm nervous. And as a new Christian, I just looked at those guys straight in the face. I'll never forget this. And I said, you know what? My foundation is now Jesus Christ. And unless He collapses, I ain't going anywhere. And I listened to teachers, but I read my Bible above the teachers that I read. And I saw the Mormons, but I was not naive to be manipulated by people. And it is very important that we, as non-Christians, you guys who haven't believed, you guys that are not Christians, I can understand your confusion. I can understand it completely. I remember people telling me about Jesus and me thinking to myself, what in the world? I remember a guy telling me about a king that left heaven and came to earth and he died for me. And I'm just like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And so many voices coming at me, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witness, the Muslims, the Baptist this, the other ones that, and just the confusion. And I remember sitting on a beach just saying, Lord, unless you reveal yourself, I can't know you. You're too big and that's too confusing for me. And man, God must have done something to make me a bit of a Berean, because He brought people to me that preached the gospel to me. There was a readiness, but He also made me wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, where I was able to shun the things that were not true because I had a guide. I knew what was not true because I knew the truth. And I was able to hold on to those things that are good and environments that are good. And if you're a non-Christian and you are confused, I can understand completely. But don't make that an excuse to not believe. At the end of the day, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're probably thinking to yourself, I want to know and I'm open to it. And I would say to you, one, I'm glad you're here. And number two, I would say, man, open the Word. And maybe you say, but I'm not much of a reader. Neither was I. I never read a book in my life. Maybe you say, but you know, I just don't understand it. But that's okay. Pray for understanding. The wonderful thing is that God does, I mean, this is a spiritual book. There are people with degree above degree above degree, their PhDs, doctorates and stuff, they don't understand this book. And there are people who have no qualifications who get this book because this book is written by God. And just like you guys might watch the same TV screen and not all of you guys get sky on your tubes because you don't have a skybox, as soon as you get a skybox, you understand, right? You see, right? Mary, you seem confused. If you have a TV, you might not get Sky TV. You might not be able to watch the soccer. You might not be able to watch the Olympics. But then you get a skybox, and all of a sudden it's just like, wow, I can see those channels. In the same way, you cannot understand the Bible unless you have a so-called skybox, unless you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And then it doesn't depend on your ability to learn, but on His ability to teach. And you know what? I would venture to say to you, you know, come to church, hear, listen, but don't leave it at that. Go to the Scriptures, read, and watch the Lord transform your life. So you see the Bereans, they were ready to receive. They were not naive. And notice this, because they were not naive and they were ready to receive, because of this, notice what it says. It says, many of them believed. Many of them believed. And it's interesting because I just thought to myself, you know, the reason that many people don't believe, many more people don't believe, is because people are prejudiced. Because people don't read their Bibles. Because people don't search the Scriptures and find out whether these things are so. Now, that is for the non-Christian. The Bereans were non-Christians, so therefore, they were they were of noble character because they were ready to receive the word. They were ready to not be critical, but just go and search for themselves whether it was the word of God. And then they believed. And but now, how do we apply this to the non-Christian? To the Christian. Why should we read our Bibles? Why should we search the scriptures? Why should we not just be Bereans before we become Christians? But what about after we became Christians? Why should we continue to be Bereans as we walk with the Lord Jesus? I'm going to give you six reasons. Is that already quarter after? I'm not going to give you six reasons. I'm going to leave this for next week. I am going to leave this for next week. I can't believe it. Wow. Well, I want to close with, I can't believe this. Time just flew. Did it fly for you or was it just really slow for you?
Yeah.
Slow, huh? Anwar, there's a great Bible school in China. And we've decided to bless you with a ticket to go to China. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2 with me. My father left when I was 5 years old. My mom was very young when she had me. She was 18, and as I was growing up, my mom loves me to bits. She's always been so good to me, and she's done the best she could to raise me. But I don't think I really had anyone who sat me down ever and said, hey, Raph, look, you're growing up and we need to just talk about life in general, talk about how to grow up well, how to be a dad, how to be a leader, or how to just live well. I never had anyone sit. People just sort of watched from a distance and just watch me do chaos and sort of try to tell me what not to do, and but not really someone to sit me down with a heart-to-heart conversation and say, hey, man, you know, these are the mistakes that I've made. This is what we could do with, this is what can happen within a life, and this is how to live as such. So in some ways, I had a disadvantage to some of you guys, for example, that have been brought up in Christian homes, or some of you guys that have really good dads at home. On the other hand, I've had a privilege in some ways that because I didn't have that, I couldn't really hold on to that. When I became a Christian, it was a matter of, man, I need to get an education on how to live from God Himself. And now He was my Father. And these verses to me are just astonishing. Chapter 2 to me is just amazing of Proverbs. Listen to this. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, and if your voice, and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good thing. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And I love when it says, if you receive my words, just like the Bereans received the words of Paul, which were receiving the word of God. If you treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out, if you go and say, God, please, Lord, teach me your word. Please educate my soul. If you seek her as silver, think about how much you seek for prosperity in some ways, just even to make a living, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And I think the Bereans were in a place where they were of more noble character. They received the word as best as they could. And when the Apostle Paul came and says, man, I need to find out, are these things so? And you know what? I was told today of, actually a few days ago, Kuno was telling me of someone who actually went out into the woods. And I'm not saying this was wrong. But the person, as Kuno was walking, I'm laughing, but it's not. It's funny and it's not funny. But Kuno was in the woods. It's just a picture of it that was funny. And he heard someone saying, Jesus! Jesus! I'm crying out to you! Hear me! Jesus! And then this week, I had a conversation with someone whose life is a mess, who was not a Christian, and who's saying to me, just give me a sign. And in front of me, he was praying, just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. And it's crazy sometimes how we can cry out for all this stuff upwardly, and we're asking for all these things, and we're failing to see what he's put in front of us. The guy was crying out for a sign, and there was two of us there with a Bible, telling him about the love of God and the deliverance. The person was crying out in the woods, and at times he wasn't receiving. There was an impulsiveness there. I mean, I love the guy, but there was an impulsiveness there. He was slow to sit and grow and listen as such, not even from a person, from the Word of God. A noble character searches the scriptures and is able to receive the teaching. And when people are noble and they receive the teaching of the Bible, many believe. And maybe you're a non-Christian here today, and like another guy, I mean, it's just like the trait that goes around, like another guy, you might have been saying, I was in the shower and I was telling God, if you're there, move the soap. That's spiritism, man. That's just weird. He gave us His Word. He gave us His Son. He gave us believers all over the world. And I guarantee you that anyone that's saying, move the soap, I guarantee you that anyone that's saying, give me a sign, I guarantee you that someone has gone to that person and said, would you believe this? But sometimes it's just too simple. Sometimes it's just too simple. It can't be just that. We're almost like Naaman. You know, was it Naaman, Lordy? The leper guy? It's like the Elijah says, dip in this river. And we say, in that river? We have better rivers. Let me do some great thing for God. Instead of just simply yielding to the thing that He is doing in our life, He's put His people and His word in front of us. And if you will give Him a chance with a noble heart, you will find yourself believing. And I can stand here today, man. Honestly, yesterday I was pinching myself. I was listening to that song full blast in my head. Afterwards, all I could hear was a pee. But I had that song full blast in my heart. We are the lucky ones. I took Loretta in the kitchen and I just gave her a big hug. And I said, oh, Loretta, I love you. We're so blessed. And guys, it was so tough for me to become a Christian because I'm not a gullible kind of guy. It was so tough. But taking that step and saying, I believe. Taking that step and saying, Lord, I don't want you to show me a sign. Just take my heart, change it, mold me, educate me. And I look back and I just say, man, why didn't I do that sooner? We are the lucky ones. And we want you to have the same luck. So guys, if you're not a Christian today, and today I was going to the believer afterwards, today is just for you. If you're not a Christian here today, do me a favor. Please don't leave here. Please, I beg you as a friend, as a pastor, as a Christian, don't leave here without coming to someone that you know here that is a Christian. And being able to say, look, I don't understand it all, but I'm ready. I know something needs to change. I don't have that antenna. I don't have the skybox. I need to confess the knot that's in my heart. I need to confess that to somebody. And even if it's not to a person, I need to confess it to Jesus with somebody. And I need to have that forgiveness, the freedom, the eyes to see, the heart to hear. Don't leave without talking to someone. And we will pray with you. And men, if God spare our life in this church, we will be here for you to open the scriptures together and to discover the love of God and the grace of God, and that you might find your way on a path that is just blessed from this day forward unto eternity. Don't leave. Please don't leave. Come to me. Go to Jimmy. Go to Bart. Go whoever you feel familiar with. Don't be ashamed. Don't be proud. Just for once in your life, just put away that stuff. If you're not open with people, if you're reserved, put away that stuff. Just put it away and just say, look, I'm going to be private, but I'm going to talk to one person. For me, it was tough, man. I sat in that chair and I was inside. I felt sort of like a need to do it. And I'm like, I'm not going up there. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not going to do anything. And the guy said, I know there's a coward here. I'm no coward. And I went forward in front of everybody. I'm not even asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to grab one guy, one girl, and say, will you pray with me? I need to know Jesus. Don't be like the Thessalonians that were full of bitterness and envy and always talking against Jesus. Don't be the neutral pilot that washes his hands of Jesus. Be the Berean that studies it and says, oh man, I need this, and therefore believe. Let's pray. Father.